Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and Senator Kirsten Gillibrand will be with us in just a second, but I want to play a clip of her in D.C. last week first, because the junior senator from New York is now taking a leading role in voicing the Democrats' unhappiness with Republican legislation that affects women in the name of the budget. Listen to Senator Gillibrand from a news conference.
This election was about the economy. So I do not understand how this Republican Congress can move from that mandate to create jobs, to create opportunity in this country, towards how do we undermine women's reproductive health. This is an egregious example of not only overstepping, but a misjudgment of what the American people want. If the Republican Party doesn't believe that 51% of America deserves equal rights in this country, they will have a fight from at least the people standing behind me and many, many more.
With us now is Senator Kirsten Gillibrand. Thank you so much, Senator. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Do you think they're trying to make ideological cuts, masquerading them as budget cuts?
Very much so. And I think things like cutting all funding for Planned Parenthood are particularly egregious, because it's not just about abortion. It's about cutting funding for pre-cancer screenings, for mammograms, for prenatal care, for women and infants nutrition programs. They are also cutting things that women really care about, like early childhood education, job training. So I feel like it's much more of an all-out assault on women that is not just about reproductive rights.
Why would they cut cancer screenings? Nobody's against that, including Republicans.
Well, apparently they are. Apparently they don't believe that women's health care should be funded. Companies and organizations and not-for-profits like Planned Parenthood, that's their job. They outreach to at-risk women and deliver a full range of health care services to them, including mammograms and pre-cancer screenings, and including prenatal care. So when the pregnant woman needs help to make sure the child she bears is healthy, they don't even want to fund that.
Why do people who oppose abortion try to cut access to contraception? Do they not believe that causes more abortions?
I don't know what they believe. I just know that the result is going to be very egregious towards the safety and well-being of women and their children. And, you know, these cuts are very significant, and they're cutting so many issues that not only women but American families care about. And, you know, particularly in this tough economic time, I don't know why they would be cutting funding for workforce development, for job training, for early childhood education like Head Start, for Pell tuition. I mean, these are all investments that have long-term growth dividends of entrepreneurialism, innovation, and job creation. So their choices don't seem to make sense at all across the board.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand with me on WNYC. You know, in the midterm elections, though, one of the shocking results was that there was no gender gap for the first time in a long time. So is the GOP just as pro-women as the Democrats, but in a different way? Like, Democrats are strong on things like reproductive rights, but Republicans are strong on addressing economic anxiety in ways that a lot of women in America like?
Well, I think what the last election was about was the economy, and I think incumbents were elected out of office, both Democrats and Republicans, who are not sufficiently focused on the economy. And I think, you know, in New York State, I can tell you, every woman that I meet with when I go to a Senate at your supermarket, the number one issue she raises is issues of financial security. I'm concerned about my job. My daughter just lost her job. My husband lost a job. I'm worried about getting more hours. I can't pay my bills. So that's the conversation we've been having for the last few years. And so what the election was about was who is going to turn this economy around. And I believe that some Republicans won because they had a message that was stronger on economic issues. That being said, when you really drill down into what are their goals and policies, they're very anti-women. They don't want to support issues like equal pay. For every dollar a woman, for every dollar a man earns, a woman earns 78 cents on that dollar. And if you're a Latina, it's 53 cents. And if you're an African American woman, it's 62 cents. So those are issues that the Republican Party doesn't support at all. So I hope that, you know, over the next year, that we can really create a new conversation with women in America about the issues that they care about and truly what people's views are on each of those issues, and that what they will find is that this Republican Congress is anti-woman.
What does equal pay for equal work mean, though? I mean, when you talk about the 78 cents or whatever, if they're not the same jobs.
No, it is the same job.
It is the same job.
Yeah, what equal pay means is in the exact same job that women earn less in the exact same job. And it's very prevalent. And, you know, the White House just came out with their report on women that actually identify this wage gap that's continually persisting. And the problem is that, you know, there are more families that are headed by women-only households, women head of households. So the statistics and studies show that when women earn less, it affects children. It's the number one indicator of how much will that child have opportunities for education or health care or to really to reach their potential. So it really hurts children when women earn less than their male counterparts for the very same work.
And in the international context, Human Rights Watch came out with its report showing that the U.S. does not rank all that high in terms of maternity leave, parental leave.
No, I mean, we need to do much better in creating a greater landscape for participation. Women tend to like to be able to have daycare on site. They like to be able to have some assistance in getting affordable daycare for their children. They like flexible working hours. Those are all things that matter. But some of the more troubling things from this report is the evidence about what's the future going to look like. And where I'm most concerned is less women are going into the fields that are growing. Those are typically science, technology, engineering, mathematics. Less women are going into those subject matters in high school and in college and graduating with a proficiency in those studies. And the statistics are that, you know, 8 out of 9 of the fastest growing industries require proficiency in math and science. So if women are continually graduating with less expertise, it's going to hamper their ability to get those higher paying jobs.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand, my guest on WNYC, you told Capital New York that the women's movement itself has not been doing enough in the last decade. How so?
Well, we have fantastic women's organizations that work hard every day to make sure women's rights are spoken for, and we do a lot in reproductive rights. But across the board, you know, there's a lot of issues that haven't had the same level of advocacy. For example, you know, women entrepreneurs, women small business owners, there's a real shortfall for a lack of access to capital. How do we enhance the SBA loan programs that are targeting women and minorities because they are such growing areas for small businesses? So there's a lot of issues that I think don't get attended to that are fundamental to women that we need to continue to put on the national agenda. I mean, simple things like access to affordable daycare, you know, to make sure that we have a child care tax credit that makes it more affordable. For a family in New York, let's just say it costs about $10,000 to send your child to a daycare. If you only earn $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year, that's not affordable for you. So what we want to do is increase the tax credit that's available so that it is more affordable to get that chance to put your child in a good daycare where he or she is going to have access to that early childhood education. These are all issues women care very much about, and I think it's important that we elevate these issues to the national agenda so that they have a voice in the decisions that are being made. And unfortunately, Brian, you know, too many women choose not to participate in politics. We have so few women who are running for office. We still only have 17 women in the United States Senate. We have less women getting elected in the House this year than any other time in history that we went, the numbers went down. So those are terrible indicators. And women have to be involved, because if they don't participate, decisions are going to be made about every aspect of their lives, and they may not like what those decisions are. So, you know, my goal over the next year and a half is really to get women off the sidelines, to get them to be engaged, to care about whatever their, you know, priority is, whether it's health care, education, or access to capital, or tax policy, that they have to be part of the debate, because if they don't participate, they may not like what they find.
Now, you are in the Senate, of course, but you wrote a letter to the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, not to spend taxpayer money to fight for the Defense of Marriage Act, as it's known, in court. That's the law that denies federal benefits to same-sex couples who are legally married in the states that allow that. Why did you write to Speaker Boehner?
Well, again, you know, if the last election was about the economy, which I believe it was, not only is this a distraction to the hard work that needs to be done to get our economy growing again, but it's misplaced judgment. The American people want to see that men and women who are in, loving couples, can marry the people they love. Marriage should not be defined solely as a commitment between a man and a woman, and that anyone should be able to marry the person that they love and be able to receive the federal benefits. There are over 1,000 federal benefits that accrue to married couples, and I believe that we have to make sure all married couples have access to those federal benefits, basic protections, adoption rights, the ability to leave wills to each other, the ability to visit each other in the hospital. There's so many different rights and privileges that you should be guaranteed in all 50 states. So the first thing we need to do is repeal DOMA, and I think Speaker Boehner's efforts to somehow oppose that is really wasting taxpayer money.
The White House just released the first report on the status of women in America, I think, since Eleanor Roosevelt did one for President John F. Kennedy. There are so many findings. I'm sure you've read it. Are you especially interested in bringing any, bringing attention to anyone in particular?
Well, the findings that are most troubling are the ones I mentioned that are more about the future, that women aren't going into the growing professions. They're still not engaging in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I'm still concerned about the lack of equal pay. I find that to be highly concerning. And I think that these are issues that really we have to focus on when we're talking about a tough economic climate and we have job loss across the board and an unemployment rate that's still too close to 10%. We need to do something about that. So my goal is to really create opportunity for women and make sure that they can have access to capital, they can get their small businesses going, that we can focus on tax policy that creates opportunities for entrepreneurialism and innovation.
Of course, go ahead, sorry.
And make sure that women have access to those opportunities.
We've gotten to the point now, as the report acknowledges, where a higher percentage of women under 35 have college degrees than men. Mm-hmm. And, of course, college is such a powerful predictor of success. That are we headed eventually for a male equality problem rather than a female equality problem? Bizarre as that seems to even invoke.
No, I don't think so, because what I even experienced in my own life, you know, when you're in school, the playing field is quite level. You're all competing on the same basis. But once you get into the workforce, things begin to change. And what we're seeing is that women are not in the higher levels of most professions. You know, how many women are on management committees? How many women CEOs do we have? How many women governors do we have? So if you look at the top level of every profession, and if you look at the more highly paid professions, you will continue to see a lack of women there. And that's a huge structural problem. And some of it has to do with self-selection. A lot of women may not go for those careers or may not go for those positions or may self-select themselves out because of interest in raising a family. But there's still other issues at play that we have to address. And, you know, I want to make sure that women can be part of those growing industries by giving them opportunities to be engaged in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, to have leadership training, to have opportunities to rise to the highest levels of their professions. And, you know, in my particular profession in governing, I hope that we can get more women interested in running for office, because a lot of women choose not to engage because they don't like the landscape. They don't like the playing field. It's not a profession they're interested in.
Senator Kirsten Gillibrand on WNYC. Before you go, the Congress has only a 2-week reprieve before another deadline for a government shutdown. The House majority wants $60 billion in cuts, which Senate Democrats are unwilling to agree to. How will this get settled without a government shutdown?
Well, I think we're going to have a few votes in the Senate this week, one on a Democratic-sponsored budget, one on a Republican-sponsored budget. I think that we probably won't gain the votes we need for either. And I think that will put in motion the opportunity for a compromise. And I think you can produce a bipartisan budget out of the Senate, and I think we could lead the House from the Senate.
Any cuts that you are endorsing?
Well, there's a lot of choices that can be made that I think make sense. We have to get rid of waste and fraud and abuse in every title of spending, and there's plenty of fat to cut out no matter where you're talking. I'm specifically focused about tax policy that I think is unfair. I don't like the fact that the oil industry gets $8 billion of tax cuts every year. It's a very profitable industry. It doesn't need taxpayer support. I think in agricultural spending, we want to move away from direct commodity payments to the large producers towards conservation payments for smaller producers to help small farms. In defense spending, there's a number of programs that the military are not advocating for currently that we could begin to move spending away from. And then there's some that, you know, some cuts that have come out of the Democratic budgets that I also disagree with. For example, I want to make sure that we continue to fund home heating assistance. You know, for a state like New York, that we have very tough winters, we want to make sure our seniors aren't without heating. So that was a choice that I don't agree with. So for each budget, you're going to, you know, definitely fight for certain cuts and fight to preserve spending in other areas. But there's no disagreement that we need to cut spending, and I think people can come together and do it in a responsible way.
The junior senator from the state of New York, Kirsten Gillibrand, thank you so much.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come.